Ah, beloved, I'm Pastor Trey, and you're now listening to the New Living Translation. This is Bonafide Bible Talk, because God speaks my language too, and I'm sure enough about to act like it. Let's go. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. It's always been a dream and a desire of mine to make this show a little more interactive, right? Some of your favorite podcasts have interviews with guests and all sorts of things. And if you search my name and whatever your favorite podcast platform is, you'll see that I've been a guest in a bunch of people's podcasts. And I'm like, yo, how do I make that happen, right? If you listen to Three Black Men with Rob, Sam, and myself, you know that we have guests on there pretty frequently. If you listen to Black Coffee and Theology with Rob, and he has Rose serving as a special guest co-host for most of this season, they be talking to people. But I don't talk to nobody on the New Living Translation. It's just me. That's how it's been from the jump, for real. I know every now and then a scripture that I'm rendering has more than one voice present. Some people are like, yo, how do you get them other voices? That's still me. It's all me, baby. It's all me. Camera tricks. Well, it's not really on camera, but yeah, that's voice editing. It's been me, and I'm tired of carrying this show by my daggone self. I want some help, right? But if I do incorporate other people, then it's not really translation no more. It's just conversations and dialogue, which is dope. It's just not how the show started, and I haven't really figured out how to make this thing more than just me talking about stuff. So a while back, I figured I would open up a mailbox, and it didn't go the way I wanted it to because the method I chose to pursue wasn't really that user-friendly. And then I came up with a solution that I think works. We actually just opened up a regular mailbox with a phone number attached to it. 305-290-1190. That's the number. If you want to leave a voicemail, you can do that. And as long as you don't cut up, if you act right, then we can have you on the show. And I won't have to carry this show by my daggone self. And so, with that in mind, today is our first ever mailbox edition of the New Living Translation. Without any further ado, let's get into it. Beloved, you've reached the voice mailbox for the New Living Translation, and this is a dope opportunity for you to take part in the show. So if you have any questions about the Bible, go ahead and let us know who you are and where you're from, and then ask it, and you might make the next episode. In the meantime, make sure you're subscribed wherever you listen to your podcasts and leave a rating and a review so that everybody knows where the dopest spot to find Bonafide Bible Talk is. And remember, God speaks your language too. Let's act like it. All right, so our first ever caller into the New Living Translation voicemail didn't leave a name or where they're from or anything like that, or even a question, but they did put forward some thoughts I think are worth considering. Let's check it out.
I think I've listened to your last three podcasts, and I love how you give Hagar a voice and agency. You know, with everything going on in the Bible, as far as historical context, we don't talk about, you know, essentially she was kind of their slave. I'd be more interested to see, you know, if there was something in time where I could pull back the curtain and see how that even came to be. But the fact that she was just kind of offered up and wasn't really given a choice, it's just something I never really thought about and considered, and it really just proves to show that it's so important that we look beyond the words on the page and do the due diligence, or listen to people who's like you, who's doing the due diligence. And that really spoke to me, and I appreciate you giving that perspective, because I think it's so important, being African American, for the enslaved, because I'm trying to do so much better about my language, to have a voice. And I felt like you kind of gave her a voice in some strange way.
First and foremost, I appreciate you being brave enough to call in. Secondly, I am grateful for the thoughts that you shared, because the fact of the matter is that my relationship with my faith, that as we would say in church circles, when we start speaking all that Christianese, my walk with God, even my relationship with the Bible and the sacred text, improved dramatically, drastically, once I committed to restoring the humanity to the Bible. What I mean when I say that is, a lot of times when we view the Bible as the word of God, as though in oracles throughout history, God slowly but surely reveals the very nature and essence of God through downloads that we are now receiving in what we recognize as the Bible. We can lose track of the fact that whatever revelations that we find within the Bible are done through people in their circumstances. What I mean by that is, at no point does God reveal the nature or character of God in spite of the people's circumstances. It is through somebody's circumstances that God has been revealed. When I wrestle with the human circumstances that are shaping the narratives that we receive in the Bible, I'm better able to understand the point about God that the authors or the communities that are passing down these stories and scriptures were trying to make. When we wrestle with the humanity present in the text, we get a clearer idea, a clearer picture of the God that they are telling us about. The vast majority of the people listening to this podcast right now, the vast majority of the people who are reading these scriptures around the planet right now, are doing so in translations. And what happens when we start translating things is that the way that we experience the world impacts how we are rendering and understanding these texts. That's a reality that we often miss when we default to removing the human fingerprints from the text. When we act as though God has supernaturally beamed thoughts directly from the mind of God without any sort of human lens or human fingerprints touching these thoughts along the way, we will actually do a disservice to who and what God is doing through these scriptures. The fact that we right now are having these conversations in English about translations that are primarily in English as a whole nother layer of humanity that we will often look past because of how we view the Bible. And what I am trying to communicate in this podcast right here, when I say things like God speaks my language too, is that our location, where we find ourselves right now, is actually a very valid point for doing this thing called God talk, for doing this theologizing, as I talk about in my book, Theologizing Bigger, which if you haven't gotten already, shame on you, hurry, go get that done. But I think the important thing for us to sit with that voicemail that we just got, was this idea that it's important to look at what is beyond the words on the page. And I like that comment so much, because that's one of those things that, truth be told, will make some people uncomfortable. There are some people who have taken this idea or the doctrine of the sufficiency of scripture to mean that everything that we need to know about God can be found within the words of this page, which is sort of problematic for a number of reasons. The first of which, or maybe not the first of which, one of which is the translation stuff that I talked about earlier, that we're not really dealing with the words of God so much as the ideas about God filtered through the opinions and lenses of other people and how they think that that word is best understood in our context. That's what translation is. But the fact of the matter is, there is nothing in the Bible that claims that God is made fully known within those pages. As a matter of fact, there are several things in the Bible that suggest that God cannot be contained in those pages. At the end of the Gospel of John, we have this line that says, many more things happened in Jesus, and I suppose it would take many more pages or books or whatever if I endeavored to tell all of these things. The Bible was never meant to give us the fullness of who or what God is. One of the central claims of the Christian faith is that God is made most fully known in the person of Jesus. And it's important that we wrestle with what that means. It means that in order for us to get some idea of who and what this eternal, infinite, incorruptible God is like, that God, out of the superabundance of God's love, out of the abundance of God's grace, enters into finitude, enters into the boundaries of space-time, enters into the human story in the person of Jesus Christ. What I'm saying right here is that it's only when we understand that in order to redeem humanity, God enters humanity. Only when we wrestle with that fact do we understand what the story of Jesus is trying to tell us at all. And in that process, I think that if we want these scriptures to mean anything to us, then we have to do the work of wrestling with the humanity in the scriptures. And sometimes, like you said, that's going to take us beyond and behind the words on the pages. I didn't make up anything about Hagar's story. What I did was explore what her presence and what her story tells us about the context in the Bible. One of the things that you mentioned was, oh, it's interesting how Hagar might have come into the possession of Abram and Sarai. And I think that's cool to poke around with. Now, this is me digging around in the story and hypothesizing a little bit, but maybe Hagar came into their possession when Abram and Sarai went down into Egypt, and Abram, in essence, or in effect, pimps Sarai out to the Pharaoh. Now, I got to be careful when I say this, because when I tell this story, even as the Bible does, some people have accused me of trying to undermine Abram, who becomes Abraham, the father of our faith. And I'm not undermining anybody. I'm telling you what the Bible says. It says that when they went into Egypt, Abram recognized that Sarai was beautiful and did not want that to become a liability. He didn't want to put himself in harm's way when people envied the beauty of his wife. And so in Genesis chapter 12, Abram tells Sarai, anybody asks who you are, tell them you're my sister. And sure enough, as Abram predicts, everybody sees how fine Sarai is. And as this happens, a plague strikes the Egyptians. All sorts of bad things start happening. Now, the text is not explicit in this, but one of the things that is sort of implicit is that the people of Egypt enjoyed the presence of Sarai. You take that any way you want to. And it says that Abram became rich in possessions. And as a matter of fact, I think right around verse 16 in Genesis chapter 12, it says that Abram got donkeys and all sorts of things and male and female servants. It is very possible, just by looking at the narrative presented to us in scripture, that Hagar came into the possession of Abram and Sarai after Abram, looking out for his own self-interest, told Sarai not to tell nobody that she was his girl. And so they became rich off of a deception. I don't say that to denigrate Abram and Sarai. I'm telling you what the Bible is telling us. Some of what I'm saying is speculative. Much of what I'm saying is actually in the story itself. And sometimes, in trying to preserve this otherworldly status of the Bible as the unfiltered word of God without any human fingerprints on it, we try to sanitize these stories. But when we realize that we're talking about actual people, the stories of an actual people, we can acknowledge that some of this stuff is a little messier than we'd like to admit. And so when we look at that reality, that Hagar came into their possession somehow, some way, and that Abram and Sarai were not always moral exemplars, we can deal with the fact that when God is revealed to Hagar in the wilderness, we meet a God whose care and concern is even larger than what the people telling the story would realize at a certain point. You see, Abraham and Sarah are actually the ancestors of the people telling this story right here. But we have God being revealed to an enslaved person under their care who was running away from them. We have God issuing a promise to an Egyptian woman and her son who would eventually be expelled from Abraham's house. And so if we are to find hope in the revelations of God, as is the theme for this season, then we should be encouraged by the fact that God is not limited by our own understanding. God is not limited by our tendency to remove the humanity from these stories. That God is not limited in how God is revealed to those who would seek the God who sees us. I think that's worth celebrating. Let me pray with you. Almighty God, we thank you for finding ways to reveal the truth of who you are, even in our humanity. In Jesus' name, amen. Translation is a production of Three Black Men, the podcast about theology, culture, and the world around us. You can follow us on Twitter at Three Black Men. That's the number three, not spelled out, Black Men. You can follow us on Threads too, at Three Black Men Pod. That's the number three, Black Men Pod, over on the Threads app. You can find me on all social media platforms at Pastor Trey 05. That's Pastor Trey 05. You can even link up with me on Facebook nowadays at facebook.com/realpastortrey05. That's realpastortrey05. The best place to keep up with me is pastortrey05.com. That's pastortrey05.com. And there you'll find all of my social media handles. You can subscribe for my newsletter, get regular writings from me. You can even find out where you can purchase my book, Theologizing Bigger, Homilies on Living Freely and Loving Holy. This work has been made possible by a community of folks who've chosen to show their support through generosity. You can join us at patreon.com/threeblackmen. Spell three out that time, though. patreon.com/threeblackmen. There you can find even more original content from Sam, Rob, and yours truly. Make sure you subscribe to, rate, and review the New Living Translation and Three Black Men wherever you get your podcast. And remember, real recognize real. Don't get caught looking unfamiliar.